Good morning, everyone, and blessed Christmas to you. Ah, my friends, I want to have a very, very personal message to begin first with my beloved parishioners who are with me. Every Sunday and every day, worshiping our Lord, and to you, I remind you how much you're loved by God and by your pastor. And I wish you a blessed Christmas. And to all the visitors who have come to visit their family and friends and have come to this area, to you, I tell you, you are loved by God. And I would hope that your pastor would tell you that. And I would hope, because I know he does, that he loves you. And I would hope that he would tell you so. But I tell you, you're here with me, and I love you. And to all those who I have not seen in a while, and to those who have been away from the church for whatever the reason, this morning it does not matter, because you are here. And God loves you, and he always does. And to you, I wish you a very, very blessed Christmas. My friends, the scriptures enlighten us about what it is we are celebrating. Our first reading talks about a prophecy that is to come. And even in the midst of their struggles, the prophet is telling them, have joy, for you will be redeemed, and you will be called holy, and the Anointed One will be with you. And our gospel tells us how that came about. And then the second reading from Paul to Titus, he tells us why. Why did all this happen? And it's very simple, because God loves you. It tells us we did nothing to merit it. That means you don't have to do anything. He loves you. And furthermore, what is gleaned from that is, you and I cannot make God not love us. Now, people try, but they do not achieve it. What they do achieve is they can make God a little bit cranky and displeased, but you cannot stop him from loving you. And this is the message that we glean from our scriptures, and it gives indication into what we're celebrating. Now, my friends who have been with me always, you know, the professors that taught me when I was studying for the priesthood warned us, do not get too theological on Christmas. You will put them to sleep. Their eyes will roll in the back of their head. And they will not come back until Easter. And I don't want that to happen. So as I moved through the evenings from the 4 p.m. Mass to the 6 p.m. Mass to the 10 p.m. Mass, I gradually increased the theology until last night at 10 p.m. I hit them hard. And they all laughed. Merry Christmas, Father. Thank you for that wonderful homily. And so, my friends, what I'm doing is I'm buying time because I'm not sure what I'm supposed to give you this morning. Should I go easy? Did you have enough coffee and open up enough presents and you're wide awake and I can hit you hard? No, someone's saying, no, Father, don't. It's Christmas. Give us a gift. So my friends, I watched late into the evening throughout the world the celebration of Christmas. And all the places of worship were filled with people. And because at Christmas time there is this instinctive feeling to go, even for those, like I said, who have been distant. And it is instinctive and good for us to come together as a community of faith, of believers, on this feast of our Lord's Nativity. It helps us to get back at the heart of what this celebration is all about. Now, I know Pope Francis really hit the people hard. I mean, he really ran after the consumerism of Christmas and tried to lead them back. And that's good for him. He's a world leader, but I know not to do that, not with you guys. But coming here and being together helps to put it back in its perspective and helps to get at the heart of what all of our celebrations are about in this gift-giving season. We come to thank God for the greatest gift any of us could receive, the gift of God's great love shown to us in the gift of his Christ, his Son, who enters into our world. And my friends, to try and capture or to put into words the greatness of this mystery we celebrate, one would fail, because the mystery of God's love and the gift of his Christ to us is beyond human words and what can be fully described, at least in 1 hour. But my friends, what we have are the sacraments that help us. You see, God had been telling us all along how much he loved us. He had sent his prophets. He had sent all kinds of things, and no one got it. And finally, he sent his Son. And the Son appears in the form of an infant, wrapped in human flesh. The divinity of God in a baby. You see, something that we could actually touch. Before, it was the invisible God who was distant. Now we have a very tangible, the Son of God, God, present. My friends, the sacraments do the same for us. They make visible that which is invisible to us, and thus hard for us to grasp, making it hard for us to believe, and it strains our faith. But by celebrating the holy sacrifice of the Mass, every Mass for that matter, through the liturgy, we try to grasp at the wonder of the coming of our Savior into our history. The Word incarnate, God's great love, comes to us in the humbleness and the gentleness of a little baby. With his arms outstretched, if you haven't, go to our creche and see the baby Jesus. His hands are like this, meaning, pick me up, hold me. And so, my friends, we see this in the humbleness and gentleness of this little baby with outstretched arms to embrace us as we are in our current state, with all of our joys, but with all of our brokenness, with all of our happiness, with all of our hurts, with all of our tattered relationships. He embraces us by taking on our humanity. He embraces us in accepting all the poverty and suffering that comes with humanity. And he did this out of love. He did this to save us, to repair something that we had once long ago. He embraces us by giving himself to us in that first incarnation. But he continues to do it for us in the sacrament of the Eucharist. God put his divinity into a human person. When you think about that, the divinity of a God, the Son of God, is put into Mary, into the cells. And Scripture says he will visit us and be with us always. And he is. And in a very unique way in the Eucharist, the divinity of Jesus Christ fully into bread and wine. Now, I know people are like, oh, well, you know, you are all here to celebrate what God did by putting his divinity into a human person. Why do you struggle with that? That's more difficult by your pastor's standard. Oh, putting divinity into bread and wine, no problem. Putting into the very cells of a human and creating. Don't you think that's harder? But yet the scriptures tell us all things are possible for God. And people say, well, why would he do that? Well, I've been telling you since I began this homily. Because he loves you. And he wants you to believe and have faith. And he knows we're tangible beings. We got to touch everything. This is real, because I can feel it. You see? He knew. That's why he sends his Son and takes on human flesh for us. So my friends, in the Eucharist, the sacrament of the Eucharist, the incarnation is perpetuated over and over and over again. You are here today, and I hope you know how much you are loved, always. Knowing how much we have been embraced by Christ and loved by the Father, we can, no matter what our situation may be, have joy. Just as Mary and Joseph did when they were in that barn. Well, it wasn't even a barn, it was a cave. Just as the shepherds that we were told were scared, but yet they had joy. If you know that you are loved by God, no matter what is happening, you will have joy. No matter what the circumstances are, you can be rejoicing and praising God for his immense and abiding love. If we are doing this, then we have captured the very mystery of Christmas. God was no longer distant, but now imminent. God meets us where we are at. He took on our humanity to himself. He showed us how to live out the fullness of that humanity. He showed us how in that humanity we can walk in holiness. That is what the second reading is also getting at. It's talking about the regeneration. That's baptism. And then the Holy Spirit, confirmation, the sacraments. He showed us the way back to the Father. By taking on our humanity, by becoming a child dependent on human care, God took away the distance between the divine and the human. In Christ, I know at times, especially for those who are here every Sunday with me, abstract talk about God becomes futile. People are, I can't get that. And it leaves someone empty sometimes. And I don't want that to happen ever, but especially not on this feast of the Nativity. And I suppose God understands this too. That is why he sent his Son, who took on our humanity and was in our midst, walking amongst us, teaching us the ways of holiness and showing us God's love and our way back to him. And that is precisely what we Christians are celebrating this day. This great gift of the Father in his Son, who came as our Redeemer and our Savior. Jesus the Christ comes to reveal the love of the Father, because people were not getting it right. He comes to remind us of our Christ-given dignity as God's children. And as God's children, you become the very children of his church. And furthermore, those who are the children of his church become the very children of his eternal kingdom. That means you're going to live forever. This is the great news, the great joy, which the angels announced to the shepherds, which is being announced to you today. I pray that each of you, through God's grace, will receive this into your hearts. I pray you will reflect on the true meaning of Christmas, the incarnation, which represents one of the most beautiful aspects of our faith, and as far as I'm concerned, one of the most beautiful love stories ever given. I pray you will fully understand how much each of you is loved by God, because the priest fails if he does not communicate this to you. May you experience peace and love and God's joy and his embrace this day and throughout the Christmastide and beyond. That wasn't too heavy, was it? My friends, in this we find the true meaning of Christmas. That the Divine One took on flesh, the Son of God, in whom dwells the fullness of divinity. He came to live among us. This is the simple truth of Christmas. God loves you. God has offered everything he has to you, his love and eternal life. Will you accept his gift? Can you accept his gift with an open heart? And the greatest gift that you can return to our Lord is the very gift of your love, and to live your life in holiness and to love others. What parent does not want their child to be respected? Do you have any parents here that don't want your child respected? No. God wants his children respected, Where are they? Well, right now, there's a whole bunch of them right here. So that means you got to treat each other with respect and dignity and holiness. Just as Jesus' greatest gift to the Father was the gift of his life, so our response to Christmas is the commitment to our baptismal promises, fidelity to God in all things. I quote John's Gospel. To those who did accept him, he gave power to become the children of God. Now, my friends, having said all of that, Christmas is a time of gift-giving. And I suspect most of you created a mess in the living room. Did you open up presents already? Did you open up your presents? Did you open up your Christmas gift? Yeah, uh-huh. Boy, you are subdued. Is that one of them? Oh, you brought one of them with you. Good for you. So whose birthday are we celebrating? Come on, I gave it to you in the homily. Whose birthday are we celebrating? Who is that? Further back? Further back? Further back? Hello! We're celebrating Jesus' birthday? How old is he? What's the year?
Christmas.
No, well, yes, it is Christmas. It's 2018. So in human years, Jesus would be 2018. You think that's kind of old? But see, God lives in eternity, so there's no beginning, no end for him. But it is his birthday. Did you get him a birthday present?
No.
What? Yeah. Well, it can't be both, yes or no. Mom? Which one is it? Okay, come here, you. Come here. Come on, come with me. We have to, if you didn't get a birthday present, would you be sad? Yeah, if you didn't get a birthday, so Jesus has to have a birthday present. Don't you think so? I think he should have a birthday present. What do you think that would be? Do you think he would like an Xbox? No. Nintendo? Oh, he would definitely want a hug. You are brilliant. And he wants your love and everything else. But I think it's good that he should get a Christmas present. And because you didn't, do you think if I gave you something, you would go get him a Christmas present? Yeah, I think so. Now, I think all the stores are closed, even the monster Amazon. So we'll have to wait for you. But, you know, Three Kings gave Jesus gifts. Do you remember what day that was on? Well, it's on Christmas, but the church celebrates it on another day. Do you know what the name of that day is? Does anyone here know what the name of the day when we celebrate the Three Kings and their gifts? The Epiphany. Oh, you know? Amen. And what day would that be on, children of God? January 6th. You have some time to go to the store and buy Jesus a present. Did you take that? You think you can get him something with that? You think it's enough? Well, I'm going to suggest maybe you buy him a birthday cake or a birthday cupcake, and then you keep the rest. Or, you know what Jesus would want? He would want you to be so happy that he would want you to buy a gift for yourself and for the rest of your family members with that. That would be the greatest gift ever to him. What do you think? Mom, do you think you can do that? Maybe a cake, but I'll leave it to you to decide what Jesus would want for his birthday. I hope the $20 will get you something. God started all of this with Christmas by sending his son as a gift. And that gift contained love and forgiveness and friendship and hope and peace. In return, you are to do the same. You give that gift to others, love and peace and forgiveness and reconciliation. Drive away the loneliness that someone has. That gift does not cost you anything but your time, your smile, and your love. That's how it works.